For your listening enjoyment, John Lund as...
Johnny Dillon.
Philip Martin, Johnny.
Oh, hello, Mr. Martin.
Got a job for you.
Oh, fine.
We insure Mr. Alfred Chambers of Pittsburgh. He was shot to death yesterday.
Murder?
That's the way it looks. He rented a cabin in Michigan, Lachino Island.
Where's that?
About 30 miles from Sault Ste. Marie.
Right up near Canada.
Yeah, that's right. His wife found him lying in the front room of the cabin, shot through the chest. The officer handling the case is Captain George Lane, Sault Ste. Marie Police. He'll be expecting you.
I'll leave in the morning. John Lund, in another adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Columbia All Risk Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation on the Alfred Chambers matter. Expense account item one, $45.95, train fare and incidentals between Hartford, Connecticut and Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Expense account item two, $0.75, cab fare to the local police station, where I introduced myself to Captain George Lane.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Martin from your company called, told me to expect you.
How can I help?
Well, to begin with, you can fill me in on the details.
Sure.
You ever been to the Snow?
The Snow?
Lachino Island.
Oh, no, no.
Well, there are a whole group of islands on the fringe of Lake Huron. Lachino means the channel. It's somewhat of a resort now, but very exclusive. People who go to the Snows have been coming up for years. They own homes on various islands, and we're all together a very respectable community. Alfred Chambers rented the Forrester cabin. It's one of the islands furthermost from the mainland, about 2 miles, I'd say. He spent 3 days in the Snows, and then his wife arrived from Pittsburgh. Mr. Schoenberg, fellow, had a boat rental service, took her out to the island, and she found her husband lying in the living room, dead, shot through the chest. Any suspects?
Not a one.
Mrs. Chambers told me she'd separated from her husband about a week before he'd come to the Snows, but she couldn't have killed him. Schoenberg was with her all the time. And according to the coroner, Chambers had been dead for about 14 hours. Until the investigation's cleared up, I've been making my headquarters at the hotel at the Snows. I just came in to get the coroner's report. I was going back this afternoon if you'd care to come along.
Yeah, I'd like to. Any other homes on the island?
Yeah, several. One about a half mile south, one on the other side of the island. This is where Mrs. Chambers found her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Lying on his face. The front door was open. He wasn't shot inside the cabin.
He wasn't?
As you didn't notice when we came in, there was some blood leading up the front steps.
See?
You can see the trail in here.
Tag it in from the side.
Yeah.
No electricity in the house.
No, Coleman Lamps. The other two homes on the island have electricity and phones. But this place is nearly 60 years old. The owners never bothered to equip it with any modern conveniences.
How did Chambers get to and from the mainland?
Boat. Rented the boat from Schoenberg. When the coroner examined him, he noticed that his shoes were still damp. Later examination showed he'd been in the water, fully clothed.
That's funny.
I think he was shot probably while he was on an embark. Fell in the water and waded to shore.
You say he's been dead about 14 hours,
eh? Maybe about 5 minutes when he was shot.
Hmm. What time does it get dark?
Oh, up here this time of year, it doesn't get dark till about 9 o'clock. Twilight.
Hmm. Shot in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
You recovered a slug?
Yeah, 22, long rifle.
Well, he was shot when it was light, and you think he was out there in the dark.
For sure he's out there. There was a thick mud on his shoes and on the pants. Now, that mud is on the bottom out there by the dock. In close here, it's more sand. And then they'll get completely wet like that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem likely that anyone could have shot him from the lake.
No, he'd have to be out in the boat. That'd be taking a pretty big chance.
And somebody on the island. Somewhere in the woods back there, huh?
Probably. Someone could have landed on the island any place and walked here.
Anyone here shot?
Yeah, I've talked with a lot of people. Some of them remember hearing a shot about that time. There's no telling where it came from. Shot on this lake, you can hear from miles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to have a talk with Mrs. Chambers.
Sure.
Sandberg can take us back to the mainland.
We'll drive my car over to the hotel.
Come along, Mr. Dollar.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mr. Dollar.
No, not at all. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thanks. Oh, it's a beautiful view.
Yes, isn't it? Is this your first time up here?
Yes, it is.
Mine, too. You're my friend, investigator.
Yes. My company covers both you and your husband.
Well, Mr. Dollar, just how can I help you?
Answer some questions. I know it's tough at this time.
Well, I'd be glad to tell you anything I can.
Captain Lane said that you and Mr. Chambers had separated.
That's correct.
May I ask why?
Is it absolutely necessary?
Your husband's been killed, Mrs. Chambers. Your separation might mean nothing, and then again...
Yes, it was all the way.
Do you mind telling me about it?
This is the most pleasant subject, but I suppose you have to know. About a month ago, Alan and everybody had been suing this woman, but it was serious. They argued, very nasty arguments, that it was separation, but because of the publicity, they held off.
Your husband was in the steel business, wasn't he?
Yes. And they had two children. Things like this happen all the time, I guess. I took out a son. I saw the girl, women, very attractive, quite young. I think I told her things in her nursery in college.
What's her name?
Well, I don't think it was her fault. So young, and my husband is certainly very attractive, man. I don't think it was either of their faults, really. See what will happen. It would be a shame to involve her.
She's already involved. It looks like murder. Anyone connected with your husband is involved. What's her name?
Jane Elkins. I never met her, but my husband told me she was a lovely girl from a fine family. A week ago, I wouldn't have cared whether or not she was involved in the scandal, but now... Oh, certainly I've suffered enough, and it was terrible to have my children. I thought a lot about the girl after I found out. I hope that perhaps she might be spared.
She lives in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Your husband left Pittsburgh when?
4 years ago today. He decided to take his vacation. Lockdown's over.
Why did you come up here?
I thought things over too, Mr. Dollar. I decided to be Alice Creighton. I talked with our lawyer, and she suggested I have 1 hour to talk with Al. I left my family.
Did you tell your husband you were coming up?
No. He was in a little bit. There's a phone on the island. The letter would have gotten here after I did it.
So you just packed and came up then?
Yes. I packed one bag. I wasn't quite around town.
When did you leave this thing?
The morning of your attempt.
You arrived the next morning?
Oh, I arrived at the sea that night. I came to the sands the next morning.
You've never been here before?
No.
How did you know how to find the cabin where your husband was staying?
Well, I simply asked the man where to be. I asked him to put out in the front of this cabin.
Can you think of anyone who might want to kill your husband?
A week ago, I thought about it.
Anyone else?
No. My husband was still alive, Mr. Dollar. He was a very respected man.
No business troubles?
Oh, no.
How long has it been since your husband was up here?
Oh, well, not sure. We only have to talk about it. Just to tell the children and children, because just... Oh, I guess it's about 10 years ago. Yes? I thought it was about that long before they married.
Well, Mrs. Chambers?
Oh, Mr. Gray?
I have to get back to Captain Lane. I got his car.
The captain asked me to stay until he finishes his investigation.
Yes, sir.
I don't know anyone here. I was hoping I might have been with him. He's a very good friend. He hasn't done that.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Chambers, but I...
Excuse me. Yes? Yes. They're on me. Come right up.
Well, I'll be going, Mrs. Chambers.
I think you should stay up about it.
Hmm?
That phone call is from Robert. It's about to stay up back on.
Thank you.
star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
The woman who had caused the separation between Mrs. Chambers and her husband had called from the hotel lobby. Jane Elkins, the Pittsburgh college student, had suddenly turned up at Les Chenaux.
Mrs. Chambers?
Yes. Come in.
We've never met that my husband told you about you. This is Mr. Dollar. How do you do?
Hello, Miss
Elkins. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were company. It's quite all right. When I inquired, I asked Mr. Dollar to stay. Maybe I must be going to my husband's bed. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Dollar. Thank you. Thank you. I must say, call certainly for courtesy. When I heard you on the phone, I thought about calling you soon, but... No, I understand.
You were in town when Mrs. Chambers arrived, Miss Elkins?
Oh, yes. I came up with my phone over the hall in the line. Mrs. Chambers, I don't know what... Mr. Chambers was coming up here. No, I didn't. Mr. Chambers, I wasn't there with your husband. I never had been. And Mr. Dr. Carlisle, I thought perhaps he was.
You didn't know Mr. Chambers was coming up here?
I had no idea until he arrived.
How long have you been here before Mr. Chambers arrived?
No, I don't.
You told him you were coming up?
Yes. I told him it was true, but... I said I wanted to come up and search for a while.
Where were you when Mr. Chambers was killed?
I don't know. I just wanted to see it. I heard about it. And it's one afternoon.
When was the last time you saw him?
I saw him Tuesday afternoon. What was the last time? He came into Senegal and went out to the drugstore. We talked and he went back to the island.
Had you seen him much before then, while you were up here?
Yes, I saw him twice. Shortly after I arrived and one time after that at the post office. Mrs. Chambers, when he arrived, you know, I told him I'd rather not see him while I was up here. The people on the stairs know Mr. Chambers, also in Pittsburgh, also. You remember him? The other officer? Oh, yes. I said before I left for my husband, I would have left for my friend, so.
Is he here in the
film? Yes, we're all over together.
Does he know about you and Mr. Chambers?
Yes.
Did he know that Mr. Chambers was here in town?
Yes, he told him.
How did he take it?
Not too long, I'm afraid. Not okay. My father and husband are married. And you come from one of the cities. Yes. My daughter is always a bit of trouble. When your husband arrived, I told him... I thought it would be best if we forgot the whole thing. I wasn't in love with him, Mrs. Chambers. Not yet.
Miss Elkins, after Mrs. Chambers left you that last time in the afternoon, what did you do?
I went back to the house.
Where was Charles? Was he at the house?
No, I don't think so. No, he was out. Mr. Dollar, he was the doctor.
That's a simple question. Where was Charles?
He was out in the boat.
Alone? Was he alone?
I don't know.
Well, it's easy to find out.
Mr. Dollar, it was time to tell you I really must go in.
Oh, that's too bad.
What was the business out of the market, Charlie? Charles Perry's a business cocktail party this afternoon. I mean, anything but a party, but there was no way I could get out of it. Without telling you what the work is about. I understand. Here I am. Thank you for coming to see me. If I could only tell you how sorry I am about everything. I know. Goodbye, my dear.
After Jane Elkins left, I talked with Mrs. Chambers for a few minutes more, then made my excuses and drove to the seat of her hotel and registered there. I reported my findings to Captain Lane, who said he'd check on Jane Elkins and her boyfriend. Then I stretched out on the bed and tried to figure my next move. Now it didn't take long to figure. I decided to crash the Weather Watchers cocktail party. Expense account item 3, $1.50, boat rental and Schoenberg services as pilot. We made it in 15 minutes. Schoenberg pulled into a long dock where a veritable armada of small craft were tied up. The party was well underway.
The guests were milling around on a long strip of white beach about 50 yards below a huge Georgian house. No one asked to see my invitation, so I grabbed a drink from the passing tray and looked around for Jane Elkins. I spotted her a few yards away, talking to a stout mustache party with a rich bourbon complexion. I stepped briskly up to her side. Jane Elkins, I presume? Jane, I wonder if I can have a word with you. Oh, man, you won't mind if I steal the guest of honor from you,
will you? Mind? I certainly do mind. I wouldn't think it. Hey, don't I know you? Aren't you Robinson from East of Five?
No, I'm Dollar. Insurance.
Insurance? Oh, well, excuse me. I'll see you later, James.
I always empty the hall in a hurry.
What are you doing here?
I've got a lot of questions that need answers.
I don't want to make a scene, but if you don't leave, then I'll have a show now.
You might as well talk to me as to the police. I'm a lot more sympathetic.
The police?
Yeah, the police. Now, just give me some answers, and I'll be on my way.
What do you want to know?
Well, that's better. What time did your fiancé come back here yesterday?
I'm not sure. I think it was around 6:30.
Mm-hmm. By the way, could you point him out to me?
He's standing over there by the bar. The man in the green jacket.
Well, he's a big one, isn't he? Now, Miss Hawkins, what time did you return here yesterday?
About 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. You stayed here the rest of the afternoon?
Yes.
Where were you?
Huh?
Were you in the house?
I can't think of it.
Take it easy. Charles is heading this way.
Please go.
Oh, not yet. Charles is the man I'd like most to meet. You two seem to be having a fascinating conversation. Mind if I butt in?
Oh, butt away, Mr. Weatherwax.
My name is Dollar.
How do you do, Mr. Dollar?
Fine, thank you. If you're through with my hand now, I'd like it back.
How's that, Mr. Dollar?
I might want to use it again sometime.
Oh, sorry. Well, you can have it back.
Thanks. I want to give you a tip. Next time you try that bone-crushing bit, watch out for that hook.
Yeah, he's just here, this little friend of yours.
He's not a friend.
Oh, no, not a friend. Something much more than that. Much closer.
Much warmer. Get out of here, Dollar. If you're helping, I'll break you in two. I'll scatter you all over the
place. All right, Mr. Weatherwax. I'll go. You told me what I wanted to know. You're a jealous man or a violent man? The perfect type.
What are we talking about?
Harold, he's a detective. He's investigating Alfred's death.
Oh, why don't you say so, darling?
I'm not answering today. I'm asking. For instance, where were you yesterday afternoon? And do you own a .22 rifle? Chambers was killed with a .22. The slug can be traced to the rifle it was fired from. They call it ballistics. Isn't science wonderful? Goodbye, Charles. Greenberg and I took off from LaSalle Island, but instead of heading to sunny Seaville, we turned into an inlet about a half mile down the lake where we could still see the weatherwax dots. We waited there for 10 minutes. Then Charles Weatherwax appeared on the landing. He climbed into a small cruiser and headed south. He chased to a spot about 300 yards off the shore of Baxter's Island, hove to, stripped down a bathing trunk, put on a pair of underwater goggles, and dived in. He came up seconds later and then submerged once more. I told Schoenberg to pull up to him at top speed. When Charles surfaced again, he saw us bearing down on him and climbed hastily back into the boat. But before he could weigh anchor, he was alongside. Don't leave this yet, Charles. This is a gun in my hand.
Yeah, I see it.
You're fishing without a spear, huh? What kind of fish are you after, Charles? All right. Start it up and head to the landing. And don't get reckless, Charles. I'm a fair shot. Charles, all ashore this morning,
ashore. Oh,
you can set this, Charles. All right. Let's go to the house. We can talk better there. Come on, move, Charles. Move. This is far enough. All right, talk, Charles. What were you looking for out there in the sky blue water?
I don't have to tell you anything.
You'd rather talk to Captain Lane, it's all right with me. But why not tell me?
It'll look a little better on the record. I didn't kill Chambers, but I was with him when he was killed.
Go on.
I came over to tell him to stay away from Jane.
But Jane said that she'd broken with him that same afternoon.
Well, I didn't know that then. We were standing out on the dock, he and I were talking. There was a shot, but he fell in the water.
And you just left him there?
Well, he was dead.
Oh, I'm afraid not.
He made it to the cabin. Oh, I thought he was dead. I got panicky. I realized how bad it looked. Ran to my boat and took off. Then I remembered I had a .22 rifle in the cabin. I threw it overboard. Then today you made a crack about ballistics. It came to me what I'd done. I'd thrown away the one piece of evidence that would clear me. So I came back to find it.
Well, it's a good story, but I don't buy it. I think you're...
The man was very sad.
The guys had been suddenly in a flying attack, and I went over backwards. I managed to kick loose from the grip of the gun that was held out of my hand. He picked it up and pointed it at my head. I jumped at him. He went over backwards. I went over with him, grabbed the gun from his hand, and then stood up. Much the worse for wear.
You're pretty fast, Dollar.
Tell me something. Why didn't you fire? You had plenty of time. Why not? Maybe they're just not the shooting type. Maybe that tall story you told is true.
It is true.
Well, maybe I believe you. The only trouble is, if you didn't kill him, there's a good chance that Jane did.
Are you crazy?
I don't think so. Besides you, she's the only person I know of who had both motive and opportunity and no alibi.
Oh, you're raving mad. What motive would she have to kill him?
She says she told Chambers Tuesday that it was all over between them.
She did.
She says she did. But suppose it was the other way around. Suppose he jilted her. Ever hear the line about a woman's storm?
All right. All right, I killed him. I didn't know that Jane had broken up with him. He got nasty and I shot him.
I see. Where were you when you shot him?
I was... What difference does that make? I tell you, I killed him. Take me into the mainland, I'll make a full confession.
Okay. If you say so.
I see.
Hey! That was a rifle shot. Came from over there beyond those trees.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go, Halfback. You first. The first trees and things were a little cold, not more than 200 yards off. A rowboat was pulled up on the beach, and beside it was a small boy with a .22 rifle.
Ralph!
Hi. What's your name?
Jimmy Bishop. What's yours?
You live over in Fire Island, don't you?
Yeah.
What were you shooting at just now?
Well, I'll be all right, Bishop. My father says they're trapped.
You come here often, you see?
Once in a while.
Were you here Tuesday afternoon around 5 o'clock?
No, sure. I got two spears.
I'm afraid that wasn't all you got, Tony. Well, that's the way things work out sometimes. You think you've got a cold-blooded murder on your hands, and it turns out to be a young kid who shouldn't have been given a gun on his birthday. .22 was checked by the ballistics department and proved to be the one that had fired the fatal shot. At the inquest, the jury returned a verdict of accidental manslaughter. However, it's doubtful if young Jimmy Bishop will ever want another gun as long as he lives. Expense account item 4, $22 for hotel bill and transportation back to the school airport. Expense account item 5, $43.85, plane fare and incidentals back to Hartford. Expense account total, $114.05. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.